You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
Welcome to this episode of Tavern Talk. This show is made possible by our wonderful Patreon supporters and our incredible partners at the Dice Dungeon, where you can get 10% off your entire order with the code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout, as well as our partner at The Scribe, where you can find crafted box sets written by professional writers. You can get 10% off your subscription when you use code COMMON at checkout. This week, I'm talking to James about one of his characters he's currently playing. Now settle in by the fire, because this is Tavern Talk. Okay, James. So, I think we're going to start with what are we drinking today?
I'm on classic Pepsi Max as a non-drinker.
A non-drinker? It's dry week here at the tavern, I think, is what we can say.
Yeah, dry week. Sure.
Sure, we'll go with it. So, we're going to talk about one of the characters you're playing. So, who was the character? What's their name, their class, the race you're playing? Anything else you want to talk about character with?
So, the character is Braelar Battlehammer. So straight away, many people probably recognise the name. He's only tangentially related to Brenor. He's currently level 10, 5 levels in fighter, 5 levels in ranger. He's a dwarf, although currently technically officially a reborn. He's died and kind of half come back to life, kind of not, because of the death curse. That's about Braelar, really.
Okay, perfect. Well, that kind of answered my question. Was going to be what campaign are you playing them in? But I think we talk about Curse.
Yeah, it's Ben's Tomb of Annihilation, not Horrors, Annihilation.
Cool. So what was kind of like the backstory when you first established the character concept that you had working for him?
The sort of concept was I wanted to play a good character, like someone who would actually go out of their way to like not kill people where possible and things like that. But effectively he's next in line to be sort of the king of Mithril Hall, because he was picked by his aunt, Queen Dagnabbit, who was afflicted with the death curse. But he doesn't want to be the king. He's quite young. He doesn't feel ready for it. And so he set out on the adventure to obviously beat the death curse and make sure his aunt can continue being the queen. But also because he doesn't want anybody else, any of his other cousins or anyone else in line, because he doesn't think they're quite suitable for it, because they're more interested in the wealth and prestige rather than like the well-being of the clan, as it were.
That's awesome. Did you have any like specific points of inspiration for the character? Is another thing I had, like books, TVs, movies.
So Dritzed, a bit of an inspiration because Braelar is Eda's dual wield scimitars. I wanted to play a character that dual wielded as well, because I hadn't done it before. But I also wanted one that could dual wield satisfyingly. So there's a little bit of homebrew in there with the feet and bits and pieces to make it sort of keep up damage wise with other options anyway. And then other than that, he's very much a classic dwarf. You know, he likes drinking, he likes crafting, he's really good at crafting. You know, the subclass I picked was Rune Knight, there we go. And obviously one of the runes he's got literally doubles his proficiency bonus and all of his crafting, and he is really damn good at crafting.
What's the homebrew thing you guys use for crafting? I'm pretty sure we talked about it in the main show before.
So
just the reminder.
The homebrew crafting stuff is the heavy arms. I forgot the name of it now. Well, the heavy arms stuff. There we go. We have talked about it enough.
We've talked about it. Heavy arms always has great stuff that he puts out.
For like modifying weapons and the rune stones and things. So like, you know, Braelar is an officially trained runesmith. He got his qualifications actually at Port Nainzaru, where he became qualified to be a runesmith, and he's did a pretty good job at that. He made a couple of challenge runes for people in the party, and they've come into, well, quite handy.
You kind of answered this question already, but like, if they were not on the adventure, what life would they lead?
They would probably be, well, if their reputation wasn't in tatters, they would probably be crafting and making things back at the hall and just sort of living that classic dwarf life. But other than that, he'd probably be out journeying anyway, trying to find a way to sort of improve his reputation back again. I did forget to mention that part of his backstory.
I was going to say, like, where we're talking about the reputation here.
He accidentally killed Queen Dagnabbit in like a sparring match. He basically tripped and accidentally stabbed her straight through the neck. And he then, through like political pressure from other people and stuff, even though it was an accident, she got brought back and everything, got slammed in like prison for like 8 years. And he became like a bit of a joke around the hall. You know, people wouldn't use anything he'd made. They'd sort of take the mick because obviously he tripped and stabbed the queen in the neck.
I feel like that was a real important part of the backstory.
I know. He's been in the jungle that long and he's kind of taken a backseat that bit.
Oh, that's awesome. So speaking of him being in the jungle, how did him becoming a reborn kind of all play out?
So we got to... I forget the name of the place, but basically Nanny Poo Poo, the hag in Tomb of Annihilation. We had one party member who wanted to side with them and work with them, and then a couple that didn't. Braylor refused to hear out Nanny Poo Poo, and in sort of a bit of a flash of temper, did chuck a hand axe straight at her, which sort of like started the old combat off. But then the player that wanted to side with her, it was Ronan. He instead sided with Nanny Poo Poo, and so Braylar was pretty much the only melee fighter up in there. He was fighting Nanny Poo Poo, giving it out everything he's got, but at the same time he's also got Ronan attacking him, and eventually Ronan sort of took him down, but took him down like non-lethally sort of thing. But then Nanny Poo Poo, because Braylar had been that annoying and had, you know, hurt her that much, then sort of like finished him off, and then she worked basically her weird hag magic that kind of beats the death curse, and he's come back as that reborn.
Okay. I really like that. That's actually real cool.
Yeah. He's currently looking for a way to get better. But, you know, he knows it's going to require solving the death curse first, probably. Yeah.
Were there any times that his own ideals got in the way of the majority of the party?
Well, there was that time that, you know, that probably could have been avoided had Braylar just sat and listened for an extra minute or two before he got stroppy and chucked a hand axe. But there was also a time where we came across a red wizard who just, you know, he just wanted to retire and get on with his life, and Braylar was like, yeah, sure, we'll leave him, you know, let him on, let him go out and do about his work. But everyone else wanted to kill him. And in the end, Braylar just kind of went, I mean, it's partly James as well, partly went, but right, if you're doing that, I'm going to have nothing to do with this, and just sort of like walked off and let it happen. But there was a good solid argument for like a real word time, like an hour of just going back and forth on this topic.
Oh, that's awesome. I remember in my Nadar campaign, I had three players that were very different. Two of them were like buddy-buddy, and then one was kind of the outlier.
Mm.
So every time he was trying to play, you know, a low intelligence.
Yeah.
So even when things at the table were like above, like, oh, we're going to do this, they would just draw out and longer and longer and longer unnecessarily and just cause so much friction.
Yeah.
Above table and in the table. Or in the game itself. What was a high point that this character has had?
There is currently one high point that tops the wall. And then that it was the slaying of an amethyst dragon by the name of Shadinagoth. You know, Braelar, he'd gotten this axe, which had a really, it was a plus one battle axe, but it had a really weird ability to float on water as well. And so we're fighting this amethyst dragon, and then it's like it was over the water, and so it kind of like flooded the lair as well. And Ben let me do this with a few checks and bits, but I basically Braelar surfed across the water on this battle axe, and then sort of jumped on and then attacked Shadir, and Braelar managed to get the killing blow and kill this dragon, claiming the prize of a crystal scimitar, which now has Shadir Nagoth's soul in it, which is causing some issues.
Do you want to elaborate a little bit on those issues?
So, first of all, it's made him have a really weird obsession with gems. Like, he wants to hoard them, doesn't want to damage them, which is a small problem because he is a runesmith as well, but that's not really come up that bit yet. But there was a point in the tomb where there were some gems in a coffin. And we sort of triggered this trap, which meant the room started filling with wine. Not a problem for Braelar, doesn't need to breathe, but everyone else ran out and Braelar was just kind of stood there staring at these gems until he ended up just trapped in this room on his own. Thankfully, he then came to his senses and managed to sort of find an alternate way out of the room and swim out. But for a minute there, you know, in another situation, it could have killed him.
Yeah, that's a little problematic.
Yeah. And Shadir wants me to bring him back as a Draco Lich as well. Which, yeah. Braelar's only just starting to clock that Shadir's having these dodgy influences on him. He's not quite resolved that yet.
I love a good Draco Lich, though.
Well, Braelar doesn't... I mean, James knows that there's two options. And Braelar now, because he had this sort of confrontation with a couple of members at the party, like, you know, what the fuck was that? Why did you stand there like that? He's kind of realised that Shadir's being this negative influence, and so he's going to sort of try and persuade him away from being this Draco Lich, because... Braelar does know a lot of like the stories and things of like his uncle's exploits, you know, one of which involves Draco Lich. You know, Draco Liches aren't good. So he's like, well, I'd rather not make another Draco Lich.
There are any other high points? You said that's the one that takes the cake, but like, are there like a second and third place we want to talk about? Because I'm realizing how quick we're like shooting through the questions I've got for you.
The other one is probably another one in the tomb. This is just sort of like where Braelar's sort of dual wielding and the sort of the feet I've got really, really shined was there was a bunch of these undead dwarfs and then also this tomb guardian. And the tomb guardian is pretty much resistant to everyone's weapons and stuff. Braelar managed to in like, it was like one round or maybe like a round and a half or something like that. Managed to basically go around and take out all of these sort of undead dwarfs and just sort of clear the room, and then everybody could focus on the tomb guardian, which is kind of like a bit like the image I had initially with him. Like the plan is to eventually like get the mobile feet so he can literally hit something and then run past it and just sort of zip between different things till he gets to the objective kind of thing. Yeah, that's probably second highlight. That's quite a recent one actually.
Okay, and then we're going to flip it. What are some of the low points that this character's faced? We're talking about the highs. Let's go to the low points now.
The low points was when he died. You know, he didn't want to die. He's now, you know, he struggled for a little while with the fact he was dead and things. And he really, you know, got to a low point where he was like, you know, am I even capable of doing this? Why did my aunt decide that I should be like the next king? You know, look at me. I'm not great. I'm a bit rubbish. That was a pretty solid low point. And then I think the other sort of like lowest point came quite early on in the campaign where Braelar and another character were on watch. And sort of in the dark, we spotted what looked like two zombies, regular zombies. And so Braelar and this was like, oh, we can deal with these. No problem, it'll be fine. And obviously it wasn't fine because it was some weird zombie, which was like an amalgamation of two of them. And it didn't go down quite as quick as like some of the other zombies we'd faced. And Braelar very nearly died there, but he didn't. But instead, the person that was sort of helping him out did die, and he took that pretty hard as well.
And then I think we'll talk, we'll wind down on these questions with, does Braelar consider themselves a hero, a villain, or something else?
Oh, he definitely considers himself a hero.
Yeah?
Like, when he gets home, he's going to tell some stories, which, you know, don't require too much embellishment currently, but there will still be plenty of embellishment around his adventures and what he's been up to. You know, it might be the case that the Shadir Nagoth fight in his story turns out to be more of a one-on-one than a combined effort of a group sort of thing.
That's awesome. Then I think, do you think he'll ever be able to repair his reputation after stabbing the queen with these stories and everything like that? Do you think he'll be able to go on the up and up, or do you think?
I mean, yeah, once he gets back and, you know, he's got back, he'll have ended the death curse. You know, everybody knows he's off doing that at the minute. It's quite sort of public knowledge. He's also helped out, you know, when he killed Shadir Nagoth, he actually helped out this community of dwarfs in Chult as well. And he basically said to them, look, get in touch with the hall and we'll help you get back on your feet and kind of thing. So he's already inadvertently made like a little sort of like cross-continent alliance and things. But, you know, getting back from solving the death curse, that's going to go quite a long way to earning him some respect and things, I think. That's the hope anyway.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that's a great way to kind of redeem from stabbing your aunt in the neck.
Yeah. But no, he is hands down, like, I think one of my favorite characters ever, just because he's playing that good character rather than the pragmatic or just doesn't care character is quite a nice change of pace for me. Because previously I've played quite pragmatic characters who would, like, they're not evil, but they would do whatever to sort of, you know, yeah, sure, that fireball might accidentally kill a few of the commoners, as it were, but at the end of the day, it'll save the rest of the village, kind of thing. Or yes, he'll quite happily snitch on his friends to his boss, but, you know, it gets the job done, whereas Braelar wouldn't do that sort of thing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Then I think it is time for us, due to the customary, would you like to say ring the bell? Ooh. Because Ben got so excited when he was able to say it.
Ding!
That works. We'll add one in post, too. No, but that's our way to signal that we're kind of winding down. I got one more question for you, and then I think we'll round this shorter episode out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, if any song was the theme song for Braelar, what would it be?
Oh, yeah. Oh God, what's it called? I think I am quickly going to open Spotify, because there is, I'll admit, there is one song sort of like on my way to work in the morning. It goes, well, yeah, this is Braelar, but he's diving through like the breach, as it were, and just going ham. And it's called Dragon Rider. By a mix of Thomas Bergeson and Two Steps from Hell. It's a purely musical piece, but it's, you know, it's pretty hype and pretty good. That's what's playing in my head when he's going around brayblading, as we say.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is there anything else about your character that you feel like sharing that's important to who he is or what his goals are?
I suppose it's just he doesn't get along with his parents either. That's like the only other thing. You know, his mum wanted him to be a cleric. His dad wanted him to, you know, be running around with a battle axe, and instead he runs around with two scimitars, which kind of gets on their nerves a bit. But he loves them very much. His home is very important to him.
Awesome. Well, then I think around the 20-minute of recording mark, we're going to be reaching in a second. Is I think where we should call the episode. What do you think, James?
I mean, I could tell a little bit more about the
you want to talk a little bit more?
The dual wielding thing.
Yes, please do.
So Obviously, D&D dual wielding is usually quite unsatisfying. So early on, it's pretty good because you've got that extra attack in there as a bonus action, which, especially if you've not got anything to use bonus action, is quite good. But then it falls off quite quickly compared to other fighting styles. And so you know, me and Ben were having a sort of look round. I'd come up with a fee, but it wasn't quite right. It was a little bit too strong. But then we found one sort of deep on the internet. I can't remember the exact source at the minute, I'm afraid. But they'd done all of like the maths behind it and stuff to sort of show that it was on par with taking something like either Sharpshooter or Great Weapon Master. And so what it lets him do is with his extra, once he gains extra attack, it lets him make that many extra attacks on his offhand as well. So instead of two attacks, he's currently able to make four. And had I completely specced him out as a fighter, he could have been making like eight attacks in a round or something like that at level 20, which would have been absolutely nuts.
That's insane.
It also works quite well in that lots of Braylar's things use his bonus action, but it allows him to, if he makes an attack action, he can also make one extra attack with his offhand. But if he does that, he can't do them using his bonus action. So he can use his bonus action for something and still get an extra offhand attack in. And he can also do it as part of an opportunity attack as well, which is what sort of helped bring him up as sort of the big damage dealer of the party and why he can just get in there and go swinging, which has been quite good.
That's awesome. I've been wanting to play a dual wheel character and I haven't really found something. So, I mean, if you can find that feat.
I do have it like wrote down, but I feel like I should find a source before I, share it on the pod rather than, because I don't want to take credit for it.
Oh, no, of course not. But if you are able to find it, shoot it my way if you can find a source.
Yeah,
we can always share it on the We Speak Common Discord server where you can participate in the episode discussion after this episode airs. Or with any other episodes, that's a shameless plug.
I mean, we're pretty good at shameless plugs here.
We are pretty good at shameless plugs. Oh yeah, 100%.
But definitely get on the Discord, guys. It's good stuff.
Yeah, you're able to talk to me, James, Ben, Dave when he's back around after bringing life into the world.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely got his priorities wrong there. Should have been playing Disney Wars instead.
That's kind of whack if you ask me.
Yeah. Oh. That's Braylar, really.
That's awesome. So yeah, as we said, join us on the Discord server. We'd love to hear from you guys in the episode discussion, in the common room, just talking about your character, your backstories for your characters, things like that. We love to share stories and ideas and get feedback on what we do. As well as our Patreon, if you want to get access to a few more rooms, such as the Vibe Zone, where you can do voice chats and video chats with us directly, and things like that. Anything I'm missing out on, James?
I don't think so. I think about covered it there.
Yeah, we have the behind the scenes content. There we go. I can speak today. That's great. I've only been up for a few hours.
Excuses.
But you also get like the first kind of top of the list when it comes to topic suggestions for main series episodes. We have Project Civitas coming back, if I'm not mistaken,
Once Dave's back, that's going to kick back off again. We should also have we put together the first thing yet, or is that still?
I think that's still in the works.
Yeah.
I think that's when Dave comes back, we're going to do that too.
Cool.
But what that is the community built world for the We Speak Common community, where we do weekly prompts whenever Dave comes back, weekly and monthly prompts, and then we build off that, which is really, really fun, really, really cool. And now that I'm going to have more free time, I'll be able to submit some more. Behind the scenes content, episode discussion, topic suggestions, behind the scenes, and a whole bunch of other stuff exclusive to the We Speak Common patrons. But I think that is where we should call this episode.
Indeed. Well, I'll see you next time. I've finished my Pepsi. I'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thank you so much, James. I cannot wait for the next one, and maybe Dave will be here with me next time.
Yeah. All right. Bye. But,
bye. Thanks again for joining us here on Tavern Talk. This show wouldn't be possible without our generous Patreon members, as well as our friends over at the Dice Dungeon, where you can pick up all your premium D&D and Dice Goblin essentials without paying a premium price. Plus, you can use code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout and save 10% off your order. And the creative minds behind Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B, who provide game-ready box text, as you see in your favorite pre-written modules, to help you tell your next epic story. Offering DM and player scenes to choose from, with more than 600 free scenes and over 10,000 scenes available with a subscription. You can try Describe tonight. And once you decide to subscribe to Describe, you can use code COMMON at checkout for 10% off every month for your first 2 years. Until next time, we'll keep the fire going for you.
Listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at We Speak Common.